Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 134, the first two verses. Within thy temple, Lord, in thy most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. Men sing thy praise, O God, where'er thy name is known. By every deed thy hand hath wrought, thy righteousness is shown. It is 1 and 2 of 134. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the letter of Paul unto the Ephesians, and thereof the sixth chapter, the first nine verses. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Ephesians chapter 6, the first 9 verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Thus far, the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and beg him for his blessing upon word and sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thee we live and move and have our being. Thou art the creator and the upholder of all things, and it is in thy long-suffering patience and goodness and mercy that we, on the first day of this week, have the opportunity to come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. But also in this morning there is the visible gospel through the sacrament of baptism. And Lord, as we have come together, may we beg thee and beseech thee for thy presence, for the work of thy Holy Spirit, to apply thy word, but also to apply the message of the sacrament of baptism. And Lord, thou could justly and rightly pass us by. We have left thee in paradise. We have turned our backs to thee. And we have left thee never to return. Oh, may it be a wonder unto us that we may yet be in the time of grace in the land of living. that thou art yet willing to speak unto us. Oh, it is a token that thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that we would turn unto thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, turn us, and we shall be turned. Draw us with those cords of love unto thyself, and we shall run after thee. Lord, there is no spiritual life in us. We have plunged ourselves into misery. We have made ourselves totally depraved, corrupt, ruined, filthy, sinful, from head to toe, within and without. And we are one mass of sin, guilty, and only worthy of eternal condemnation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us and our dear children. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou hast given unto us and to our children thy precious word, thy word that can make us wise unto that only way of salvation. Oh, we beg thee, almighty triune covenant keeping Jehovah, bless thy word and the sacrament. Oh, may it be to the salvation of sinners, that sinners would be born again. May it be this morning through the preaching, through the foolishness of preaching thy precious word, law and gospel, that sinners may be made alive, become guilty, lost, and become beggars before thee, crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dead, filthy sinners become filthy sinners in thy sight. But Lord, we beg thee also for all those who have been made alive, whom thou hast sought, whom thou hast passed by and said, live, whom thou hast given a new heart, taken away the heart of stone, and given a heart of flesh. Thou knowest each one of them also, Lord. Oh, we beg thee in this morning that through thy word and sacrament that they may also receive, may it be a little comfort. May there be a little token from above, a little smile from heaven, a little experience in their soul by thy spirit testifying with their spirit of that loving kindness of a triune God, of God the Father through his Son by the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may we not only see our filth through that water, but oh, may we see what that water points to, that all atoning precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee for spiritual life, but also for those graces of repentance and of faith. Oh, we beg thee that thou would richly bless them, thy precious word, and thou hast promised it will not return unto thee void, but it will accomplish thy purpose. Oh, may we beg thee, may it be to the salvation of us and our children. Lord, take away all distractions in preaching and administrating the sacrament of baptism and in listening. Bind up the evil one. Cast him out, Lord, and that thy word may be richly blessed by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. We beg and pray thee then, remember the parents, the fathers, the mothers, who will have their children baptized, and who will be asked three questions, and who must give an answer. Oh, may they learn themselves personally what they answer. By thy grace and by thy spirit, and by thy grace and by thy spirit, may they be given to answer, but also to live accordingly. Lord, remember all of us as parents, as we have presented our children to be baptized, and we've all made an oath unto thee. Thou knowest how it is in our hearts, in our lives, how we are living as fathers, how we are living as mothers. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, richly bless thy word in our homes to the honor and glory of thy name, to the instruction, to the edification of our own souls, but also of the souls of our dear children. Lord, remember those who long to have children and in baptism are reminded that of this cross. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou remember them in mercy, care for them, help them. Remember all those who are mourning. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would comfort them, widows, widowers, those who have lost a child, a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend, or a classmate. Oh, we beg thee, sanctify all these callings. Thou art speaking unto us that we have no continuing city here below, but that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, prepare us by thy free and sovereign grace. Teach us those necessary experiential lessons of how great my sins and miseries are before thee, a holy and just God, who can by no means clear the guilty, but also teach of that only way of deliverance through him, through thy dear Son who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through him who is the bread of life. Through him who has everything that poor, wretched, guilty, bankrupt sinners need. But also that heart that will then also desire to live unto the ingratitude of such great blessings unto such unworthy wretches. Lord, do it for thy name's sake and for our eternal welfare. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted with all the cares and the needs of the body and of the mind. Bless the means that may be used. And we pray especially again for Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, who also again has received discouraging news and the cancer has spread further into his body. Lord, look upon him in mercy. Oh, thou art that almighty God. Nothing is impossible with thee. Oh, we beg and plead thee. Thou hast the might, and may we say, the Lord willing, that thou would spare his life and bless the means. But Lord, above all, may it be sanctified to his heart, to the hearts of the family, but to all of us, that we all have a great disease, an incurable disease that man cannot cure, that great disease of sin. And we need that great physician. We need that balm in Gilead. We need that only Savior. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, sanctify it, bless it, to the glory of thy name and to the salvation of sinners. Lord, we may thank thee also that another family in this past week may have received a healthy baby. Lord, remember Mark and Julia Bile. Give them broken hearts for thy goodness, that thou hast spared life and given life. And may this child be born to be born again. We pray and beg thee richly, bless thy word throughout the entire world, Lord, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. Bless all mission work locally, among children, in prisons, throughout this nation, but throughout the world. And Lord, thou hast also given unto us the privilege and the responsibility to bring thy word to Bolivia. Lord, bless it. Help all thy servants there, Pastor Marco, the elders, deacons, missionaries, evangelists, church workers, that thy word may be richly blessed to the Bolivians. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come among us. May we plead upon thy own promise. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. There's no reason in us. Oh, wilt thou give much prayer that there may be criers and sighers begging unto thee, Lord, open the heavens. Come among us with thy spirit. Bless word and sacrament. renew sinners, edify thy dear people. Lord, we beg thee, we confess our sinfulness, we're polluted, we're unworthy, but oh, we plead and beg upon him who is sitting on thy right hand, in him whose precious name is Redeemer, in him whose name is the Lord our righteousness. O Lord, wilt thou hear us, look upon us, visit us, and comfort us with that only comfort in life and death because of him and through him, and it will be all unto thee. So, Lord, we beg thee in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find in the back of your Psalter if you would like to follow along on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us, he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave through this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them and blessed them, as we read in Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I please ask the parents to rise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant, and that it therefore must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to the following three questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, where you are parents of, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Mother Stamm, what is your answer? Father Stamm. Father Van Wyk. Mother Van Wyk. Mother Hoflagen. Father Hoflagen. Father Koster, Mother Koster, Father Hoflagen, Mother Hoflagen, Mother Drugers, and Father Drugers. Dear parents, three things. What a blessing to have children. There's other couples that don't have children. What a cross. We don't understand it when we have children. So what a blessing the Lord has given a child or children. It's the fruit of the womb. It's a blessing from God. So it's a great blessing. But with that blessing comes a great responsibility. What's the responsibility? You have a child entrusted into your care. God has placed your children into your home. God has given you that gift, as he has given me the gift of children and others in this congregation, children. What a responsibility. What's our responsibility, parents? To do the best. We heard that last promise, to do our best that they may be ready to be good citizens of this world, so that they may have a good job, that they may become rich. Is that what it is? Your child was born, Ecclesiastes 3, and there's going to come a time that your child must die. When that is, we do not know. You don't know the day of your death, and you don't know the day of the death of your child. But in that time, between the cradle and the grave, you have a great responsibility. And it's only for a few years, because when they grow older, then they listen to many other things. So you have them for a few years. And what are you called to do? Instruct them in the Word of God. What a blessing to have children, but what a responsibility, because your children need to die and need to meet their Creator as you need to die and I do to meet our Creator. And how can we meet him as a lost, wretched, guilty sinner in peace? Impossible. So a blessing and a responsibility. That you may be a means, a little tool in God's hand for those children, that they may be prepared to meet God in peace. What a responsibility. And that's what we'll hear later from the Word of God, especially for fathers. But what a privilege. What a great privilege to have children, to have that responsibility, because there's many others, millions in this world that the Lord has not in his mercy and goodness separated to be under the administration of the covenant of grace, to be under the preaching of law and gospel. So what a privilege. May it bring you on your knees, brokenhearted for the blessing, begging to Lord's help for that responsibility, and laying your child before the Lord, as we read in that prayer, begging him, we beseech thee. Yes, you may name your child before the Lord, congregation, your children. We beseech thee, name them, that thou wilt be pleased of thy infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this child, these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ. The almighty covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah can work in you what you need, but he also can work in the hearts and the souls of your children what they need. So there's hope, not in you, not in me, but in him. And now we hope to see some water. What does that water point to? Two things. You heard it in baptism registration. Congregation, two things. It points, as we read, of our impurity, of our absolute filth. Have you seen your filth? That you're sinful before God? I hope you hear it through the Word. And when you see that water, I hope you see by the testimony, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm filthy, but more. It also points to something so precious. There's only one fluid, may I say that, that flowed upon this earth, that dripped upon this earth, that is so absolutely unspeakable precious. And what is that? The precious blood of the Lamb of God. Oh, to see that blood, to see it by the eye of faith, not only your filth, but to be able to see, and that the Spirit would apply it. May the Lord bless it to your hearts, to the hearts of the congregation, for his honor and for his glory and for the comfort of poor, wretched, guilty sinners. Let's sing now, when the children are being brought in, from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. 289, 2 and 3. And after baptism, the amen of baptizing the last child, then we will sing from Psalter 425, stanza 5. So 289, stanzas 2 and 3. Thank you. Lani Mary Lee Stam, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Kaylee Mia Van Wyk, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Josiah Hendrik Hoflaken, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Sadie Jolena Koster, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Shana Joanna Anihe Hoflaken, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mateo Andrew Drugers, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close in thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech thee that through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that they may be eternally praising and magnifying thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one, only, true God. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 278, all stanzas. 278, the tender love a father has for all his children dear. Such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 278, all five stanzas, and the collections for this morning will be the first for the church and the second for the Rehoboth Christian School Target Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
congregation the word of God, which we will listen to this morning and which we need to proclaim, is from Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So far from God's precious word. The theme is God's command to fathers. God's command to fathers. Three thoughts. The necessity of God's command to fathers. We read, and ye fathers. Are mothers included? Yes. We will explain that. So the necessity of God's command to fathers. Second, what God commands fathers not to do. In the text, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. How can we as fathers provoke our children to wrath? We must not provoke our children to wrath. So what God commands fathers not to do, and what, the last thought, what God commands fathers to do, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So God's command to fathers, three thoughts. The necessity of God's command to fathers, what God commands fathers not to do, and what God commands fathers to do. And so, with the help of the Lord, our first thought, the necessity of God's command to fathers. Imagine seeing a sheep. You see two little lambs following that sheep. And that mother, that sheep, is leading her two lambs into an area where there's lions waiting, lurking, hungry. Children, what's going to happen? You know. As soon as those lambs or those sheep come close, the lion is going to pounce. He's going to eat them. He's going to destroy them. It's going to be to death. So what a shocking sight in our imagination to see a mother leading her children, her lambs, that sheep, leading them to the place of death, to certain death. But I want to show you something more shocking. A parent, a father, a mother of dear children leading their children to the bottomless pit, to absolute destruction. How? By their life, by their example, by things that they do and they should not do, and things that they should do and they should not do. And this is the reality on millions of homes upon this earth. But what can we expect? No, I'm not giving them an excuse. But what can we expect? A fallen, depraved fathers, mothers who have never ever heard the word, who have never had a Bible in their hands, who have never heard law, who have never heard gospel. Those who do not know the spiritual state of their own soul and of their children and are under wrath. And they're on the way to eternal destruction. Those who do not live under the administration of the covenant of grace, who do not hear the law, who have never heard the gospel, no knowledge leads them to destruction. Listen to a few verses from the word of God. Hosea 4, verse 11. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, no knowledge of God in their land. Jeremiah 5 verse 4. Surely these are poor. They are foolish. Are you thinking of them? For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. God created every single person on this earth in his image. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. We left him. So it's also their guilt. It's our guilt. Oh, how these fathers in those millions of homes need to hear the word, need to hear the word of God. They need to hear it. They need to believe it. They need to be born again. And they need to see the needs of their souls and the souls of their children. Pray. Pray that they may be given the word of God, that it may be a blessing for the souls of them and their children. But now something even more shocking. More shocking? Yes, more shocking. To see parents, to see a father or a mother who hear, who know the truth, who hear the law, who hear the gospel, are born under the administration of the covenant of grace, and yet lead their children to the bottomless pit by the lack of instruction or by the way of their example of their life. In the Old Testament times, it's no wonder that fathers in the families of those nations around Israel that never heard the law, weren't under all those blessings, never heard of the gospel, and did not lead their families in the right way of godliness. For example, a Philistine father who never ever heard the truth. But to see an Israelite father to not do so, not instructing his circumcised children, not instructing covenant children, provoking them to wrath, and not bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and so doing, leading them to destruction, leading them to that bottomless pit where the roaring lion forever lives. Oh, how God must look upon this earth and see that in all those homes with grief, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My people, my covenant people, congregation, fathers, mothers, no, not just these fathers, all of us included, myself, we are very blessed. We're as blessed as their Israelites were. How were they blessed? What do we read in Romans 9, verse 4? Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? We are as blessed as they are. But how sad, how horrible, how guilty we are. Fathers, fathers in the world leading their children to destruction. How they need to hear the word and to command to repent and believe and to turn away from all the evil and to turn unto God and to doing his ways and to begin to lead their families in godliness. But what great guilt of fathers, mothers in church, under the preaching, under the administration of God, not leading their families in the way of godliness, not leading them, not nurturing them, not admonishing them in the way of the Lord. Children with God's name on their forehead. No, it's not enough, but what a great blessing. God has given you and me children, and he has put his name on them. What a responsibility. Congregation, leading your children to destruction. Is that you still? This morning, the word of God comes to us with an arrow. There's an arrow in my heart already before I even came here. An arrow, sharp, piercing. And that's my prayer, that it pierces hearts. That you cannot pull that arrow out anymore. That fathers become guilty. And it pierces them right to the very heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fathers, how are you leading your family? How? What example are you to your children, to your wife? Are you a blessing or are you a curse to your family? Are you leading them in godliness or are you leading them just in ungodliness with a Christian name above your head? As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, we must proclaim the full counsel of God. Death in Adam, life in Christ, and how the Spirit works in the heart of a sinner and brings that sinner to a rich, precious Savior. We must preach it all, the full counsel of God. But sometimes we have to take a different trumpet to our lips. And we need to proclaim sin. Sin. This morning, I need to lift the trumpet. I need to proclaim sin. Sin of fathers. And fathers, not one of us can say and go home and say, I'm not guilty. If you're only leading them in that way of ungodliness, you're completely guilty. But those fathers that are born again, we're still guilty, because who can do it sufficient? So I need to lift up the trumpet, proclaim sin to fathers this morning. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah had to lift that trumpet and proclaim it to the covenant people, to Israel. No, he didn't have to proclaim this message to the Philistines, but to Israelites. This morning, I need to lift that trumpet. Blow it, and may the Lord bless it. Bless it, and I include myself. I include myself. How? How are we leading our families? Fathers? And so this morning, especially fathers are summoned before God. God is speaking. Ye fathers, God is speaking. He's calling you and me to give an account of how we are living as fathers. The text begins, ye fathers. So let's pause a moment. Maybe already you have a question in your, what about mothers? Are they not included? Absolutely. Remember the third question we asked? Whether ye promise intent to see these children, whether they come, when they come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And we asked the father and we asked the mother, and they answered yes. And fathers and mothers, you answered also yes. You made an oath to God to do your utmost to instruct your children in the truth of God's word. Parents are a unit. God has created a family, a father, a mother, and children. And through these means, that his word be proclaimed for the coming generations. The father is to be the leader, and the mother is to be the helpmeet. The helpmeet. They are together in one bond in marriage. However, the biblical mandate for fathers, there's a biblical mandate, a responsibility, especially to fathers, to lead their families. Fathers have a very great, important privilege and responsibility. And so the Bible emphasizes, God emphasizes in this text, ye fathers. Paul doesn't use the word parents in verse 4. No, he uses a specific Greek word for father. In verse 1, he uses a Greek word for parents. Verse 2, he uses a Greek word for father. And in verse 4, he uses that same Greek word in plural for fathers. Paul is specifically speaking to fathers. Why? Because Paul knows the biblical mandate, the Old Testament rules and regulations for a father. He knows God's special command to fathers. And may we beg God that Almighty God, that covenant God, that he will work mightily, irresistibly, and give a revival among us as fathers, myself included, that our hearts may be broken and throbbing in care and zeal for the glory of God and for the souls of our never-dying children. Malachi 4 spoke in that chapter about a coming revival. And then it's fulfilled, and the angel spoke it to Zacharias. Zacharias, read in Luke 1, verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. Many will be converted. Many will be made alive by the blessing upon the preaching, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what will be the effect in the hearts of fathers? If you have your Bible open, look in Luke 1 verse 17. There we read it. What will be the effect? Fathers converted. Children, men, women, mothers, but fathers. What will be the effect in their hearts? We read in Luke 1 verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What does that mean? There is so many different explanations on this little phrase. But one thing that is included, when fathers are converted, what will happen in their heart? They will be turned to God. They will be turned away from sin. But they will also have a peace in their heart. God-fearing fathers that begin to think so absolutely different of their dear children. Their hearts will be turned to the needs and the souls of their children. They cannot live in an ungodly way anymore. They cannot live in a careless way anymore, just leading their children like that sheep to the place of destruction. Fathers, have your hearts been turned? As we read in verse 16, have you been born again? Have you been made alive? But because of that, has your heart been turned to the dear souls of your children? You have an eternal soul, fathers. I do. And we know it, and we say it, but do we really feel it? Because when your child dies, it's too late. But this time between the cradle and the grave is a time to care for their souls. No, you don't have the power for what they need in their souls. But you have a great responsibility to, as we will hear, to place them, to teach them, to instruct them. Are you actively living as a prophet, a priest, and a king in your home? Are you shepherding your family as a good shepherd, a little good shepherd on this earth? Or are you like that sheep leading your children? Children with the covenant name on their head, and you yourself knowing the truth, hearing the truth, but just leading them by the lack of instruction or bad examples to that place of the bottomless pit? Are you like that sheep? Who are you? Or have you, by God's grace, been turned, your heart renewed, made alive, and your heart turned to the souls and the hearts of your children? Have you been, your eyes opened to see the great need of your soul, of who you are before an almighty God? Sin, guilty, worthy of condemnation, eternal wrath. And do you see now your children that they have the same need? That I am born in sin, they're born in sin, and that we need to seek salvation outside of ourselves, as we read in the beginning of that form of baptism. To loathe ourselves, to humble ourselves, and to seek outside of ourselves. Son, you're filthy. Daughter, you're sinful. You need to die. You're going to go to eternity to meet your Creator. And you need to be saved. You need to be reconciled with an almighty God. Soul lost, all lost. And we say it, but do we feel it? Do we live that way, fathers? May God have mercy on us, because we need a revival. We need a revival. And we could say this world is full of sin, but we need to begin in this church. We need to begin in our own hearts. We need to begin in the hearts of fathers. We need a revival. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to break hearts, that sinners become lost, that knees become bent, lips are open, sighs and cries to the Almighty God for my soul and the soul of my children. The word needs to be opened. No, not just quickly after the meal because we have to, and then we close it, we carry it on. That we take time each day as a family to open the word of God. Children, listen, the Lord is going to speak. Speak to them. Speak about the word. Instruct them. And that sin may be forsaken. So we read the necessity of God's command. Did you hear it, fathers? I've heard it. The necessity, God's command to fathers. But what is the command? It has two parts. It has a negative part of what fathers are not to do, and it has a positive part of what fathers are to do. So what are fathers not to do? What is God's command to fathers not to do? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. What does that mean? To stir up negative feelings in their hearts, that they become frustrated, that they become aggravated, that they become exasperated by how you are as a father, that they become so downhearted that in their heart comes up out of their feelings of their heart anger, resentment, maybe even resentment to the word of God and to the truth, because they see my dad is just a hypocrite. They see it. It causes so much confusion. If we say, let's go to church on Sunday, you have to go. But during the week, we just live as an example, as worldly as could be, in a multitude of ways. The children see it. They say, Dad, this is hypocrisy. And they build up resentment out of their heart to the means of grace. Because at times, those fathers can be so hard on their children. And yet, not leading them in the right way. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We need to be kind. We need to be tender. Yes, and we also need to be absolutely immovably firm on the truths of the Word of God. How can we? How do we? A few practical things. Yes, practical instruction is very important also. Favoritism. How many children do you have? Do you have a couple? Is one your favorite? Maybe you never ever said it, but the children feel it. You know how that can build up resentment and anger in the heart of a child? I wish I was my brother. I wish it was my sister. Because him, her, they're the favorite one. I think of Isaac. He loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. What a bad example. What friction in that family. We need to love every single one of our children exactly the same, in their own special way and cares and needs. No favoritism. That stirs up anger. What else? That they feel they're not important. Dad's job is important. Dad's bank account is important. Dad's health is important. Dad's hobbies. Dad's. Everything is important but me. That stirs up so resentment. And we can be busy with all kinds of things, even good things. We need to take times, fathers. Especially today, we need to have a bond with our children. And we can be so busy, especially office bearers or others in different committees. We can be so busy in good things, things for the church. But I say it for myself, and I say it for you, take time for your children. They need to feel from your heart, by your action, by your life, that they are important. Put an X on your calendar and say, I'm an important meeting. That day is immovable. I'm going to have time for my sons and for my daughters and my family. How else can we provoke them to wrath? By not showing them any affection. No affection. They need affection. We all need love. Your children need love. They need to hear it from your mouth. But if you don't show it with your actions, you provoke them to wrath. You need to show it with your actions, but also with your mouth. Maybe your child just needs a hug once in a while. Hug them. Care for them. Love them. They need it. Or you provoke them to wrath. Lack of standards. Let's just have an open house. What do I mean? No rules. Just let them live. Long as they're home Saturday night before 12 o'clock, before Sunday. Other than that, you just let them freely go. How does a child feel? Yes, in our rebellious, wicked hearts, we just want to be free. I know that when I was 15, 14. I know. But when your dad says, no, son, that's not happening. You know what you feel? My dad loves me. When your mom says, no, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Why? Because they love you. Let them feel your love by the right biblical boundaries. Boundaries. Don't be obedient parents. Be faithful parents. What about criticism? Do our children ever hear an encouragement? Or is it always, you didn't do enough of this. You didn't do this correctly. All negative. Do we ever give them just a word of little positive encouragement? Or we're so afraid that they become proud. Oh, we all have that. But they need to hear a little uplifting, a little encouragement from day to day, don't they? What about neglecting them? Not involved in the lives of your children at all. Involved in everything. What about excessive discipline? Harsh, hard discipline. And maybe with the Bible in your hand. All that provokes so much anger. Sit with them when you need to discipline. Don't blow up in anger. Sit with them. Have time to calm down and say, listen, my dear son, my dear daughter, God has placed me as your father. Listen, what you did was wrong. I've warned you. Let's pray together. Let's pray together as a father. I need to discipline you. Let's ask for forgiveness. Let's ask the Lord to give me a heart of compassion and love for you. And I need to still discipline you. What else? Abuse. May it never be. May it never be. Here. That a father is abusing his child. His God-given child. And then to abuse. And I'm not going to get into the details. But how wicked. How that stirs up so much wrath and confusion of the heart of the dear child. If you're doing it, repent. Not providing for their needs because of certain addictions. You say, that doesn't happen in this church. How do you know? Certain addictions that drain the bank account and children suffer. Suffer deeply. And so these ways in many war ways. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But what does God command fathers to do? Let's go to that second part. The positive. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't do that, but do this. Do this. Lead them in this way. Care for them in this way. Fathers, bring them up. Let's open our Bibles and read another text. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up. What does that mean? That means to instruct. That means to actually dedicate. Dedicate them to the purpose intended. Instruct and teach them in a dedicated way that God has given them for you, to train them up, to dedicate them to the truth, that they would walk in the truth, to put them, so to speak, with all your power, train them up in the correct, in the right path. And sometimes you need to take them and say, you cannot walk in that way. I need you to be in this way because this is God's way. Let's read two more texts from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 first. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Train them up. Dedicate them. Teach them. And now one more. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So we read in the beginning, teach them diligently. What does that mean? It literally means sharpen them. And I don't think we understand this, but when I was young, I had a scythe. I had to cut thistles with a scythe. And sometimes you had to stop and you had to sharpen that blade. You took a stone and you went over it over and over again. Diligently, that's what it is. Sharpen them. Diligently sharpen them. Constantly, faithfully, regularly, faithfully instruct them in the precious words of God, that their minds and their hearts, by the blessing of the Lord, would be sharpened to the truth of the word of God and of his ways. Fathers, bring them up, train them, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean, nurture? Well, we read that verse only one, or that word only one other time in the Bible, verse 29 in chapter 5. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So a man doesn't hate his own flesh, but he cares for it. What does he do? What does it mean? He feeds what's good for his body. He would never ever eat rat poison. No man would ever do that for his own body. You say that's foolishness. But now that same father that cares for his body, that feeds his body what's good, he's called to nurture. He's called to feed his children with what? Nutritious food, so much protein, this, that. No, the word of God. The word of God, he needs to nurture them with the word of God. You say he can't feed them. Exactly. But may I say it this way? He needs to put everything before them. Before them. Looking to the Lord. Begging him to bless. He needs to nurture them. Nurture them. Train up. And bring them up in the nurture. Be dedicated to feed them what's blessing for their souls. Don't give them the rat poison of this world. Don't say, okay, at least they're home. Then they can do what they want in the shop. No, if it's sin, it's sin. Don't bring them to a carnival. And we hear this morning, and even in Cortland, I could hear the music. Other fathers bringing their children to a car show. And maybe you drove back and you say, what foolish fathers. But let's look in our own hearts. Where do you bring them? What do you nurture them with? Is it sin and you know it? Repent. Repent, fathers. What a responsibility. And to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? Advise them? To say, my dear daughter, my dear son, I just advise you. Gentle parenting? Is that what it is? Admonish means firm. Warn them, instruct them, teach them, guide them, but do more. Put them in the way. And yes, that's easy when they're younger, but when they're older, it's harder. I know. And yet we need to be firm fathers according to the word of God with love in our hearts for their souls. We can also discourage them. Fathers, we read in Colossians 3 verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger lest they be discouraged. How? By only emphasizing one part of who God is. Or never ever speaking of the wonderful works of God. Not speaking to them. They can become so discouraged, so impossible. And it is impossible. But there's something else. Is he not living? Is the Almighty God not living? Is he not all powerful? Is there not all hope in him for absolute wretched sinners? Fathers, speak, nourish them. Bring the word of God before them. Instruct them in the truths of the word of God. And tell them of the wonderful works of God, as we have heard in the past from Psalm 78. Why? So that they may set their hope in God by the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may Almighty God give firm, God-fearing, loving, tender fathers. And some of you miss a father like that. I know. What pain. But there's a father. There is such a good father. Better than this father. A perfect father. A holy father. An all-wise father. A good father. Who never does anything wrong. That's the Almighty God. The covenant faithful keeping Jehovah. Seek him. If you miss everything in your father, seek him. But seek him also, all of you. Him who proclaims in me there's forgiveness through my dear son, through his blood. Oh, may he apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yes, at times admonishment includes discipline. Discipline. No, not with a whip, but with love. Remind us, fathers, what we read in Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. Be times, there is time where your dear daughter and son, they need discipline, but always in love. And God the Father also disciplines his children. Why? Because he loves them. He wants to correct them. They're going astray. They're going the wrong way. And he doesn't take a whip and beat them. No, he puts something on them so that they would be turned back. Repent. We are not to be like Eli. Remember, he had such wicked sins. He said a little bit, well, what was his wickedness? What did God judge him for? But he restrained them not, admonished them. Sometimes we need to restrain them. But be like Abraham. What an example. What do we read in Genesis 18, verse 19? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he hath spoken. Fathers, may your hearts be turned for your own soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. May fathers become guilty. May fathers be convicted of their sin and repent. And also fathers that have grace to desire more holiness, more zeal, to bring my children up in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord for his honor and for their eternal welfare. Bring them up. How? What? That their soul, no, not their body, not their bank accounts, not their health. Yes, we need to care for them in everything, but especially bring them up that their soul is the greatest importance. Bring them up to read God's word individually by themselves, that they just open the word of God. Do it from a very young age, because when your son is 20 and you tell him, son, you need to read your Bible, he says, what do you mean? You need to tell them very young, so they're brought up faithfully, daily, take time that they read the Bible, be an example. May they see it. My dad, my mother, they also take time to open the word of God. Lead by your example. But if all you do is all busy, 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 no time they see it. Bring them up. Teach them to pray. You say, I can't teach. Teach them that they need to pray. Teach them. Teach them. And tell them to beg, Lord, teach me to pray. Lead by the example. Daily bring them up faithfully using the means of grace. Daily. Every day. Every day. And we read also, not only to do that, but also bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Tell them the whole counsel of God. Don't just speak about some of the attributes of God. Speak about all the attributes of God. Speak about his justice, his holiness, infinite holiness. But speak also about his mercy and of his grace. All of the counsel. Speak about the covenant of works that we broke it. But speak to them also about the covenant of grace, that there's hope in him. Speak to them about the doctrines of grace that you say they don't understand. Keep it simple, but yet place it before them. Speak about sin and salvation. Speak about heaven and hell. Speak about the abomination of sin in the almighty eyes of God. But speak to them also about the fullness, the freeness of grace from that almighty God that we have sinned against, that he has made the way back to him, that he has given his own dear son. Tell your children you need to be saved. You're a wretched sinner. You're lost. You're under wrath. And tell them of that way. And tell them also, don't just read the law to them. Read also the gospel. Proclaim to him who said, I am the bread of life. Open the Bible, and that the bread of life may become the bread of life in their hearts and souls, that the Lord would make them hungry by the teaching of the law and of his word. And that when you speak about the bread, that their hearts may be craving that spiritual blessing for their own souls. Soak them. Soak them. Soak them in the word of God. You can never do it too young. You can never do simple. Mothers, you're also included. Read them simple Bible stories every day. You'll be amazed at what they can understand. Soak them in the word of God. And fathers, our responsibility is to obey. Ours is to obey. You heard the command. You heard what not to do, and you heard what to do. A little something of it. But ours is to obey. And the Lord alone is the one that can add the blessing. A little example. Remember that marriage in Canaan? There was no more wine. And then those servants received a command. What? Fill the water pots. Fill the water pots. Could those servants turn the water into wine? They couldn't do anything. All they were called to do was unconditionally obey. And the Lord turned the water into wine. Fathers, you're called to obey. Obey. And the Lord can turn And you say it this way, water into wine. Soak them in the word faithfully, day by day. And the Lord, the Almighty Covenant God, He is the one who can add His blessing. And now I'd like to close to speak to different people. Children, you have a father, right? Or don't you have a father? May the Lord remember, but you have a father? Do you have a father that cares for your soul? Do you see it? Have you ever thanked the Lord that the Lord gave you such a father? Today, if you have a father, go on your knees and thank the Lord. What a blessing to have a father that cares for your soul. Or do you see it? Do you mock him? Do you mock him? Repent. What a blessing. Children, do you miss having a God-fearing father? Who can change the heart of your father? You can't. You long that he would lead you in the right way, care for your soul in the right way. Pray to the Almighty God. Say, Lord, change the heart of my father that he may be a blessing in this family and that he may lead us in the right way instead of the wrong way, like a foolish sheep just leading her lambs to the slaughter. Fathers, do you hear it? Obey. Children, you may beg the Almighty God. Young ladies, are you looking for a man, for a husband? Who should you look for? Prayerfully look for a man that would be such a father, to have a husband, to have someone beside you with a heart that wants to obey the command of God, but more, that has the grace of God, that sees the need of his own soul, your soul, and the soul of your children. Young men, are you looking for a partner? Are you looking for a wife? Maybe. Maybe you even think you're ready to get married, longing to get married. Are you ready? Are you really ready? With the Lord's blessing, you may in marriage receive children. Souls for eternity. What a responsibility. Are you ready? Don't get married. Don't consider yourself ready to get married until you have an understanding of this command and the responsibility you have if you have children. And beg God for his grace to make you such a father. Are you a father? I'm a father. How are you leading your family? Are you like that sheep with her two lambs following, going to that place where lions are lurking? Are you so foolish? Are you so absolutely wicked? That's what it is. Under all the blessings, repent. Repent. What a wonder that the Lord is still willing to speak to us. But there's going to come a day when it's all over. And then we're going to be standing, I will be, fathers, you will be, with your families, standing before the throne of the Almighty God of heaven and earth and of Jesus Christ. Now imagine standing with your children, and then your children say, Dad, you never instructed me for my soul. Yeah, you brought me to church. You sent me to a Christian school, but your whole life testified different. It's not important. Dad, why? Lost. Eternally lost. May it not be so. By God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, fathers, you whose hearts have been renewed, and you have turned to look upon your children and your family, and you feel that deep, deep need for your own soul and for them, and yet we stand here, what? Just guilty. 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 What do we need? We need that righteousness of the precious Lamb of God to cover us as fathers, and we need that blood of the Lamb to wash us from all our sins. And there is a righteousness in him, the Lord, our righteousness, and there is blood, that blood that he gave willingly to cleanse from all sins, all sins. Fathers, listen to the command, and may he, by his Spirit, by the irresistible work of the Spirit, turn the hearts of fathers here in Cortland and turn their hearts unto their children. And so let's close listening one more time to the verse. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May the Lord bless it for his glory and for the hearts and souls of fathers, mothers, and of children. Amen. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, what a wonder, what a mercy, what a patience, what a long-suffering patience unto us unworthy rebels of the dust, sinful wretches. Lord, thou hast separated us. Thou hast blessed us so greatly. And how are we living individually? But how are we also living as fathers? Oh, we beg thee that arrows would be shot out, that fathers would become guilty, that they would be born again, and that their hearts may be turned unto thee and unto their children, their souls. Lord, remember us as fathers, those who have been born again and have that desire, and yet we must confess guilty, Lord. Oh, give us to see that righteousness to cover and give yet more zeal, more longing to be faithful as fathers, not to provoke our children unto wrath with our words and with our life, but to nurture them and bring them up in the admonishment of the Lord. Lord, we beg thee, do it for thy name's sake and for the souls of our children. We thank thee for this time together in thy house. Wash and cleanse us of all our sin, Lord, and bring us again tonight. If it is in thy favor, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us close with singing now from Psalter 213, stanzas 1 and 2. 213, 1 and 2. My people, give ear, attend to my word, and parables, new deep truths, shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. 213, stanzas 1 and 2. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.